This study actually began about 3 years ago with the community that I'm working in requesting information about some empirical-driven data that could help drive their primary prevention efforts regarding youth health in the county of Wayne County in Ohio. So I went through the process of looking at various instruments that could be utilized to measure the concept of youth assets, which I'll go into in a few minutes. And so as a result, we came up with some ideas about how we could go ahead and measure this concept of youth assets and how it's connected with whether or not a youth chooses to use substances during their middle school and high school years. I guess I'm supposed to discuss that I have no relationships to disclose as a part of this presentation. Okay. The entire study was based on the primary prevention science model provided by Author and Blitz, which said we needed to do three things. First, look at the rate of incidence and prevalence of a problem. Second, look at what the precursors are, what might predict the current levels of involvement. And then lastly, develop a coordinated and community-owned strategy that can then provide implementation of a strategic plan based on the first two steps. So the study that was conducted explores the association between youth assets and the use of alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana among rural youths living in northeastern Ohio. It utilizes an instrument to measure assets called Youth Asset Survey, which we'll discuss in a few minutes. And the study provides empirical results on the rate of substance use, the levels of assets possessed by rural youths, the relationship between assets and substance use, and then lastly, the psychometric properties of the instrument that is used to measure assets, because this is a new phenomenon, measuring youth assets. So this study was conducted in Wayne County. The university I am at is next door, Ashland County. So it's located in between Cleveland and Columbus. Now, the catalyst for the study, like I said, the community had asked me to do some studies regarding ways to measure youth assets, and this came from Wayne County Family and Children First Council, who had adopted this concept very early on, like about 10, 11 years ago, but they were struggling to find an instrument that was feasible, efficient, and effective, and accurate in measuring the concept of youth assets. What we developed and chose eventually was Roy Ullman's Youth Asset Survey. And for those of you who are further interested in the survey, he and his colleagues are presenting on Wednesday a series of information based on the latest development of the survey. And I was chosen to go ahead and coordinate the efforts in terms of coordinating looking at the pilot study. So three school districts were involved in the initial studies. This is about 3 years ago. Now we have involved 9 school districts, but this study represents 3 school districts, which is Oroville, Worcester, and Tri-Way school districts. Now, before I go into some of the data, I wanted to look at some of the strategies that are often found in the arenas of behavioral health and even specifically social work. The prevention-based strategies tend to focus on one or two concepts. The first is deficit reduction. That is, look at efforts targeted toward what we call the at-risk youth based on either their demographic characteristics or their prior engagement in the at-risk behavior. If you do a deficit reduction, then prevention strategy, the focus is on those at-risk youths. And the intervention is primarily done by professionals, and the youth are designated as being clients or customers of the professional. The target for change is strictly the at-risk youth, and the goal is, of course, is to decrease the symptoms. The corresponding concept on prevention-based strategy is the positive youth development perspective. That is, efforts are targeted toward all youths based on the fact that all youth need developmental youth assets, just not the at-risk youth. Intervention is the responsibility for everyone in the community, not just the professional. The target for change is located in all levels of the community or the ecological system. And the goal is to acquire development youth assets. So the idea behind development youth assets is they're ingredients and building blocks that are needed for youth to become productive, socialized, and healthy adults in life. The idea is that if present, then it's going to enhance outcomes, reduce health compromising behaviors, and increase positive outcomes. So if this theory holds, what we would see then is youth with more assets should display behaviors indicative of positive healthy outcomes. Okay, one indicator is the avoiding of behaviors that constitute high-risk behaviors. And of course, for at-risk behaviors, we have a whole slew of examples, of which the one that this study focuses on is substance use. Okay. Now, the Youth Asset Survey itself purports to measure 9 assets, measured by 37 items. These 9 assets were family communication, peer role models, community involvement, non-parental adult role models, use of time in groups and sports, use of time in religious activities, future aspirations, making responsible choices in one's life, and good health practices. So the idea is, what is the relationship between these youth assets and the 3 types of drug substance use designated as alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana? Okay, what's the predictive capacity of these youth assets in terms of whether or not these youths are utilizing these substances? And which youth assets are the best predictors? One of the hypotheses is these youth assets, the 9, won't be equally predictive in terms of value. Which ones give you more bang for the buck in terms of prediction? So the sample itself was over 2,000 youths in the 3 school districts, ranging from ages 11 to 19, and with half and happy males and females. We have a homogeneous racial group of mainly made up of whites, and 3/4 coming from 2-parent households and 1 coming from 1-parent households. A factor analysis was conducted that I later concluded that not 9 assets were being measured, but 8 assets were being measured. The one that I saw that was not being measured directly was good health practices, and I incorporated that item in with responsible choices. Now, looking at a comparative, alpha coefficients in terms of CONVAC looked at the fact that we did have high degree of interrelated item reliability here. Future aspirations had the highest asset score, and the scores range from 1 to 4, with community involvement having the lowest score. In terms of comparing males and females, and this is consistent with other research, females consistently have higher asset scores than males. The most significant difference was seen in peer role models. Between the types of households, 2-parent and 1-single-parent households, use of time in groups and sports had the most significant difference. And there was significant difference with 2-parent households, youth having significant higher youth scores in all 8 assets. Likewise, in terms of comparing younger and older adolescents, the older adolescents tended to have reduced asset scores when compared to the younger youth. That was true for 5 of the 8 assets. Okay, use of time in religion was the most significant difference. In terms of reported frequency, just looking at substance use, not surprising, there's a high degree of correlation between tobacco, marijuana, and alcohol use. That is, those youths who tend to use alcohol also tend to use tobacco and marijuana. Looking just strictly at substance use, for gender, males tended to use at a higher frequency than females. One-parent household use, significantly higher use rates compared to adolescents from 2-parent households. And age, there was a correlation between age and substance use frequency. Now, looking at this, those are the preliminary data sets. Then I brought in the demographics into a hierarchical regression model, which looked at 2 models. The first model was strictly demographics, of which gender, age, and household type comprised a little over 13% of the explanation of the variance. All 3 were significant. However, when we took a look at Model 2, which includes all of the assets, including the demographic characteristics, the explanation jumps from 13% to over 31% explaining the variance, with peer role model being the asset providing the strongest impact in predicting, in this case, this is alcohol use. Another thing to look at was demographics, whereas in Model 1, all three provided a significant impact. In Model 2, just age retained its significant levels. Gender and household type no longer were significant once you factor in the assets. A similar pattern could be found in tobacco use. 10% explanation with Model 1, over almost 28% explanation in Model 2 when you add in the assets. Again, peer role model, most significant predictor. Again, gender and household type loses its significance when you put in the assets. Marijuana use, same pattern. 9% explanatory for just demographics, 22% when you throw in the assets. Okay, peer role model provided the most impact. So in conclusion, the presence of assets in youth lives is a strong predictor for the non-use of substances. It looks like the youth asset survey in this community, in this rural community, is a valid and reliable instrument in which to measure assets among rural youth. Compared to studies involving suburban youth, there was actually a higher degree of internal consistency within factors than what was done actually by the author of the survey out in Oklahoma. A measurement of 8 assets rather than 9 within this community, and there was a stronger relationship between assets and substance use in this study than what was conducted by the author of the survey out in Oklahoma. Okay. Peer role model as an asset seems to be the strongest predictor for substance use among rural youth. Responsible choices tended to be the second in terms of displaying a strong relationship. When you work these two together, peer role models and responsible choices, the two together provide a significant portion of the overall's capacity to report use of substances. Okay. Interesting. A lot of the prevention-based efforts was on family communication. Now, this isn't to say family communication isn't important, but in relationship to this particular study, family communication as an asset displayed the weakest relationship with substance use among rural youth. Another way of saying this is youth who have poor family communication, let me put it this way, youth who do not use substances also tend not to have good family communication patterns with youth who use substances. So it just wasn't a very strong predictor. So areas for further research is that further data analysis within subpopulations of adolescent years would be nice to have a basically a cohort study. And last year we finished off a study that looked at a cohort. This was a remeasurement of the same assets and substance use information from 2 years ago. So now what we are comparing is 6th to 8th graders, that is 6th graders from 2 years ago with the 8th graders now, 8th graders to 10th graders, and 10th graders to 12th graders, just to see in terms of within that cohort what substances are now tending to be used that weren't used 2 years ago, and probably more important, what assets did they have 2 years ago that they may be losing now 2 years later, looking at the same cohort. So it's a longitudinal study. It's not panel because we can't say we're measuring the exact same people, but it comes from the same school district. And with a retention of 80-85%, it's a high degree of the same people being measured within these 2 year intervals. Ultimately, what we're looking at is having a 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th grade analysis to be able to look at from a cohort perspective. By the way, another study was conducted, not a part of this. I divided the ages from older to younger to see what type of youth assets provide a general predictive factor. For younger adolescents, peer role models was, again, the most significant predictor. But if you isolate the 17, 18, and 19-year-old youth, the asset that becomes the strongest predictor is no longer peer role model. It's community involvement. And if you just think about the fact that within this age range, community involvement usually dictates the idea that, okay, I'm leaving school now. Now I'm either going to college or I need to find work in the community. Failure to do either one then limits the community involvement capacity and therefore, by implication then, could raise the risk of at-risk behaviors. Okay. Another thing is to expand studies to other rural areas. Because it's based on ecological model, this fits and this describes the local community in Wayne County, but other communities will have perhaps a different presentation in terms of the results. Because communities are different, what may work with one community may not work with another community. Communities need empirical data specific to their local area and not have to rely on some general research that was done across a particular country and try to apply those findings to their particular community. Their particular community may not fit what was seen across the country. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.